So we'll discuss a little bit about the halach of Tumas Kohanim.
Oh, yes.
Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron, that the Torah commands Hashem told Moshe to speak to Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron, speak to the Kohanim b'nei Aaron, l'nefesh l'yitama b'yamav, that they cannot come in contact with the dead. So, I mean, certainly not go into the cemetery, but you could apply to perhaps hospitals, other areas, but that's not our topic today. It's just whatever it means, you can't come in contact with the dead.
Oh, that's the source for the Kohanim, not that sense of the source for the...
The Pasuk and Parashat Zemor, they can't become itame. So wherever you find dead people would be an issue. Generally, you find them at the cemetery. I guess that's a good... And I don't want to ruin it for you, but some people actually die in the hospital. So there could be dead people in the hospital. They don't like publicizing that.
So
it's not good for business.
Become a medical student might be problematic.
Correct. That's a separate discussion, right?
Yes,
right. So what is... So the question is, so it's clear if you're a Kohen, you can't come in contact with the dead, unless, of course, for your close relatives, which the Torah enumerates in terms of what the exceptions are. In fact, we have a machlokes in the Gemara, I think it's Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, whether it's a rishus, a chover, whether they have the option to be metame. In other words, normally I can't go to a cemetery, but for my mother and father, I can, or no. If you can, you have to. So we paskin, it's a chover. We paskin that you are obligated to go to the cemetery. It's not an option. You have an option because you have a chiyav in the kvura, and therefore you have a chiyav.
Yeah. Does everybody have a chiyav to go to a kvura for their close relatives, for the seven close relatives?
Yeah, it wouldn't be. Yeah, the chiddush is that even a kohen.
Okay.
So kal v'chomer anyone else.
Ah, okay.
You know, do you mean a chiyav? No, it's a chiyav when. Obviously, the situation where they can. And obviously, you don't have a chiyuv to fly 6,000 miles to go.
Right,
but the chiddush of the pasuk is that, let's say, you all live in the same area. And obviously, it's not a case of meis mitzvah, because obviously meis mitzvah, even a kohen gadol can. So it's not a case, it's not a meis mitzvah. There could be other people that take care of it, but you are more than capable of doing it. So therefore, you have a chova. It's part of you have a mitzvah to be misavel on them. You have a mitzvah to ensure that the kfura takes place. So certainly, in the same scenario, when one is a non-kohen, it would follow there wouldn't even be an issue. The only real reason the Torah has to state is because of the biblical prohibition normally for a kohen to go to a cemetery and be involved, or go to the funeral home, etc., wherever the dead body is. So it clearly applies to the kohanim. What about the wife of a Kohen, the mother of a Kohen? Does it apply to, is it only limited to males, or does it apply to females as well? Could a wife of a Kohen go to a cemetery? Is she included? Because Ishto Kagufa, what happened to that? You're all like one. So the Rashi quotes from the famous Chazal, Emor Kohanim. Well, one famous quote is, we're not going to go into, is Rahazir Gedolam Alakatanim. One is the double language of Emor Vamarta, that you have to warn even a 12-year-old Kohen or a 10-year-old Kohen can't go in. You have, meaning Al Tzchinach, maybe he can't go, but you can't send him in. Rahazir Gedolam Alakatanim, you have to mechanach your kids or whoever, or maybe your non-kids, that they can't go into a cemetery.
Excuse me, do you learn this from the double language, Emor and Vamarta?
Yeah, Hazir Gedolam Al Katan, that's what you do learn.
Okay. Oh.
But we're just getting to this next Rashi, B'nei Aaron. The Pasuk says, Emor al Kohanim, B'nei Aaron. So Rashi has the famous drasha, B'nei Aaron, V'lo B'nos Aaron. Clearly, it applies to the sons of Aaron, and not to the daughters of Aaron. So it's clear, what?
It's easy, that, according to Rashi, B'nai Aaron includes also B'nai Aaron, but not B'nos Aaron.
Well, what do you mean by B'nai?
Grandsons of Aaron also, I presume.
Yeah, B'nai Aaron includes deer. B'nai Aaron includes every all males. It doesn't stop. Great can, you know.
Okay, so B'nai, you interpret B'nai as meaning also descendants along the male line.
Yeah, but that's not what he's saying here. But that's true. He's just saying B'nai Aaron. Right now, the specific drasha comes to tell me that your sons are not your daughters.
And okay.
It could be true that it applies, assuming it should apply. You should be a Kohen. Anyway, like even if you marry the wrong woman, you mean your grandson might not have to worry about it because he might not be a Kohen.
Uh-huh.
But assuming, so that's not the discussion
uh-huh.
here.
Uh-huh.
Is this telling me simply it applies to the males and not the females?
Mm-hmm.
That is true, but it's a general rule that obviously if your father's a Kohen, you're a Kohen most of the time.
Yes.
Not always.
Yes.
So that's the Pasuk in the Chumash. So there's a famous question brought from the Rokeach. The Rokeach was the first one to discuss it, but it's a very popular question ever since.
Sergeant Brecker, forgive me. Look, so B'nai, from here, Rashi learns B'nai and not B'nos. Do you also learn from the same place and not the wife?
Well, B'nos Aaron would mean not the daughters, or meaning any woman.
Oh, okay, from not the daughters also means no woman, including a wife.
Right,
okay.
That's correct. Even though the exact words is B'nos Aaron,
yes.
So there's no diak, the daughter's not, but wife, yes. Even though one might argue that Api Svara, but since the issue is Api Svara, a woman doesn't make a difference because by definition, a Kohen is owing a male, so therefore, there's nothing more.
You don't need
there's no concept of a. There's no concept of a woman Kohen. There are issues for trumas in terms of what a wife of a Kohen could eat and not eat. But that's because she's part of the mishpacha.
Yes.
Not because no one's saying she has a dinner of a Kohen per se.
Okay. But a wife of a Kohen, just help me here. She's not a Kohen, obviously. But is she also excluded from the cemetery? A wife of a Kohen
is permitted to go.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
so it depends if you're so excluded, meaning excluded from the prohibition.
Permitted. I see. I beg your pardon.
So the wife of a Kohen is permitted. The daughter of a Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, they're all permitted.
And the mother of a Kohen, presumably.
Correct. All women. There is no prohibition on women to go to a cemetery. Period.
Okay.
You with me or not?
So far, yes.
So comes along the Rokeach and has a famous question. He writes, what about Ashes Kohen Shemu Beres? What about the wife of a Kohen who is pregnant?
She may carry a little male in her tummy.
Right, so the question is she permitted to enter into the Ohel HaMeis? Because why, maybe she has a boy.
Yes.
Maybe she has a boy fetus inside. And therefore, by going into the cemetery, pregnant would cause her fetus son to become tummy. That's the assumption of the Rokeach and the Shaila. We could attack all assumptions as we go on, but that's what he's assuming in the question. So the question is, that's what he raised. Can a wife of a pregnant Kohen go to a cemetery? So his response is yes. It's permitted for a wife of a Kohen who's pregnant to enter a cemetery. Why? How come we're not concerned about it being a male? So the answer is, we have some general rules in halacha. One rule is safek d'oraisa l'chumra. A doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on. Safek d'rabbanan l'kula. A doubt regarding a rabbinic law we are lenient on. Those are general rules, nothing to do with here. I mean, everything to do with here, but not limited to here. And then we have a third principle of a svek sveka, a double doubt. So a double doubt, even on a biblical law, we're lenient. So one doubt on a biblical law, we're strict. One doubt on a rabbinic law, we're lenient. A double doubt on a biblical law, we are lenient. So what's the double doubt here? So the Rokeach writes, it's a svek sveko, shema nefelhu, o shema nekevahu. In other words, he's saying, one doubt is, maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. Let's assume it's 50-50, even though each birth, I guess, is 50-50. And then, even if you're going to assume that it's a male, even if you assume it's a male, Shema Naif, maybe it won't lead to fruition. Maybe there'll be a stillborn, a miscarriage, and the baby won't be born. So it's a double doubt. So based on a double doubt, the Rokeach permits. So Rokeach says it is permitted for a woman who is a wife of a Kohen, who is pregnant, to enter the Ohel HaMeis. That is the Psak of the Rokeach. This is a couple hundred years ago. So before I get into modern technology in a second, the question is, what's pshat in, so it's not so much a question on the Rokeach, what's pshat in a Svek Sveka? When we say something is permitted because of a double doubt, what does that mean? Does that mean, let's say I could clarify the issue. Let's say I could clarify the double doubt. Am I obligated to clarify the double doubt? In other words, let's say there's something called sonograms. They didn't have during the time of the Rokeach. So let's assume, so number one is, would a wife of a Kohen be obligated, a pregnant wife, would she be obligated to take a sonogram before she went into a cemetery? And more importantly, would OHIP cover it? But and secondly, or your private insurance, and secondly, even, and if she would that cause her to, and if she did take it and found out to be a male, would it be prohibited for her to go in after that? So the question is, when the Torah says, when the Jewish law says something is permitted based on a double doubt, in other words, why is it permitted? Is it permitted because B'Torah is Vadai? Like, okay, halach is Mutta, and I could put my head in the sand and it doesn't make a difference. It's mutter, nothing, or no. It's only mutter if there's no other way to be mavarer, or to clarify it. But if you can be mavarer, then you should. So that seems to be a machlokas in the Achronim. They don't talk about this specific case that didn't exist at that point. But the Rama writes, Yesh lahatir mikoach svek sveka afapisha yesh levarer. He's talking about broken bones, and he's talking about the halacha of treifin, hilchos kashrut, yes. But that's not our, it's not our asek.
Who are you quoting now?
The Rama, Ramosher okay. Isserwis, the home of the. In fact, today is his yahrzeit, by the way.
Oh.
It's questionable whether today's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit. That's a historical debate, but everyone agrees it's the yahrzeit of the Rama.
Interesting.
So it's very fitting we quote the Rama today.
Yes.
And he said, and the koach dehetera adif, we know the koach of a leniency is greater than saying something's usher. So very fitting on his yahrzeit, we'll quote a kula of the Rama. Yesh lahatir mikoach svek sveka avabisha yesh levarer. If you have a svek sveka when it comes to kashrus, you don't have to worry. He says, even if it's mutter, even though it's possible to check by checking the wings and stuff, he says one is not obligated to. So, but we'll see what the Rama means in terms of a discussion. But just to point out, in general, the Mechaber is usually more lenient than the Rama is strict a lot of times. When the Mechaber is lenient, right? So, however, some say, but the one kula of the Rama is worth all the chumras. What? Not this kula. The kula about glatt kosher. The Mechaber writes that you only can eat glatt kosher. If there's any, see, there are any things on the lungs, then you can't. You know, it's not glatt kosher. It's the rest of the eat. The Rama says no. One is permitted to, you know, you're allowed to scrape them off and see if it's good or not. So that's a general kula. The Ashkenaz, according to, if you're svar, you're only allowed to eat glatt kosher. If it's not glatt kosher, it's treif. According to us, Bnei Ashkenaz, no, glatt kosher is nice, but kosher is kosher. If it's kosher, it's mutter.
But what's that got to do with investigating? Can you decide with? I mean, you just say it's kosher because you didn't check carefully enough if it's glatt kosher or not. I mean, I'm not following this. What has got to do with, do you have to investigate if there's a suffix?
No, first of all, he's talking...
It's not an example of this.
No, I was just giving an example of the Ramaz Kula because it's his yard sign. But what the Ramaz talking about over here, he's saying you could go check the wings and see if they were broken or not. That's the case... That's the case over here, not the case I just said, but the original case when the Rama writes in Yoredeya, Yesh lahatia mikoach svek sveka afa pisha yesh levarer, even though it's you can mavara ide bidikas rei ein lochosh, we're not concerned about it. So the Shachs speaking on the Rama,
yes,
he writes b'makam sheyesh svek sveker gomar ein sarach livdo klau. Anytime you have a case of a real svek sveka, you're not obligated to check it all. Afa bi sheyesh gavara isa yidei bedika. And he said v'yesh chokim. He said there are those who argue v'yesh lahachmer hecher de efshar ve'ein hefse bedava. So the Shach quotes machlokas in the Achronim, whether on the halacha of the Rama, that yesh v'yesh are those who are cholek on the Rama and say in a case where you can check, you should check.
Okay, sorry.
And he concludes that ain't hefsid bedavet, and there's no laws. If there's no monetary law, yeah, go on.
Sorry. Did the Rama actually take the case of Svek Sveika when he spoke about? That's a case he gave it an example.
The Rama's case is the right by a Svek Sveika. You don't have to ain't lachush. You don't have to work. So the Shah quotes the Machlokas Achronim whether being cholek on the Rama. Some Achron and Makogain say no. When it's Efshar or Mavarer, then you have to.
Oh, it's possible. Maybe also
everyone agrees if it's not possible, well, it's not a debate. If it's a Svek Sveke and there's no checking, so of course it's good.
Well,
it's not.
Yes,
so go on to what were you saying?
The question might be, firstly, if it's difficult to check, that could be make a chiluk on that.
The difference would be when it's easy to do.
Yes. The other thing is this. Look. What do you mean by Sveika? That if you don't do a sonogram, 50%. If you do a sonogram, it's 98%. You see? Science is not infallible. You see what I'm saying? Science doesn't prove that it will be a boy. It says you've just jacked up the possibility of, to the high 90s.
Yeah, so that's just... Right, for our purposes, we're assuming that a sonogram is reliable.
But you mean by reliable?
Yeah, but we assume that 98% could be good enough anyway. We're assuming that if a sonogram says it's a male, I'm assuming that halacha treats it like a male. That's
because
what I mean.
It's so likely. It doesn't prove anything, but it makes it very likely.
Yeah. So therefore, maybe statistically, it's a,
yes.
It's a statistic vadai.
So Svek Sveka, you're not allowed to use a second doubt. If it's a very unlikely situation, I presume, Svek Sveka, if there are two doubts, and the second doubt is, you're sort of pushing it. It's not really a doubt. Maybe it's a 0.5% chance of.
We'll have to get into that because the Rokeach second doubt isn't so strong. I mean, maybe the question is how many kids don't live.
In those days, unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's the question. In those days, was it that high? I know today it's not that high. I mean, I don't know what percentages.
I'm sure I would guess higher than now.
Okay, but higher now, but you'd say like 10%, 20%.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So all I know is because the Rokeach, that's what some are going to tighten on the Rokeach. They don't, and some are going to say he doesn't really mean a Svek Sveka because of that. Because what kind of suffix is that? Like some say you need a suffix hashakol. Like, it has to be close to 50-50.
A reasonable doubt.
Exactly, a reasonable doubt. You can't say, it's a 2% chance, so let's throw in the doubt.
Okay.
So that we have to get into what the odds are during the time of the Rokeach, which I don't know what the odds are today. I just know they're a lot lower than they were then, I would assume so.
You can't maybe get down to an exact percentage number, but at least you've got to get some concept of highly likely,
exactly,
half and half,
I'm assuming even the time of the Rokeach, more births came out alive than dead.
Yes.
I would say probably more than 50%. So I'm just saying is, I don't know if it was 60, 70, or 80. I have no idea.
Yes.
I have to know what the odds are today. If the odds today are 99%, then maybe 80 was high. I'm saying either way, I'm assuming they were high, but not as high as they are now, or low, depending on how you're looking at it. So that's what the Shach writes. The Shach is, quotes, V'yesh Chokim, that when you can check, you have to. So comes along the Piskei Tshuva, he quotes on the Noda B'Yehuda, one of the classical poskim you've heard me quote on occasion, i.e. many times. What's the pshat in the Rama? Haino Dafka Hecha D'Yochol Levarer Shnei HaSveikos Lo Yishar Lanu Shum Safek. The Renodim says, when does the Rama, what's pshat in the Rama that you don't have to mevarer? He's saying like this, if you could mevarer both sveikas, it's a double doubt, and I can clarify both doubts, then you'll be mechuyev to. Aval afil achar habira akati lo yivro lo rak safek echad, but if you can't clarify your second doubt, so therefore you don't have to check at all. So in other words, to the Noda Yehuda wants to make a distinction. So number one, you have the Ramah, this writes it's blanket. He says you don't have to be mevarer.
Yes.
The Shach writes are those who argue and say you do have to. And the Noda Yehuda has like a middle view. He says, well, it depends. If you can be mevarer both doubts, then you should. But if you only can mevarer one, then you're not mechuyev to, since you only have to mevarer one, since you're never going to get to 100% clarity anyway.
So does it not be who to give any sort of lumdus why he says you must clarify both or forget it?
Yeah, because why that would make sense is because if I'm not going to get if I'm not going to get to my final, well, how does it help clarifying one doubt? In other words, I'm still going to be in a case of a suffix then.
Well, you proved that to one suffix.
Right. Okay. But he's saying is that you're not mechuyev to. In other words, he's saying I'll give the lumdus now. But I'm saying, but that's to the Ramah writes that. You don't have to check at all. Seemingly, the Shach says, Yesh Chokim, you do have to check if you could be Mavarer. And the Noda Yehuda has a middle Shita. Well, the other ones don't claim, they don't get into, they don't spell it out. So when it says, it's unclear from the Shach whether, the way the Noda Yehuda is talking, it's Mashma. That other people say you have to, if you can mevarer one, you have to, or else what's his chiddush? So he must be saying is, it seems to have all or nothing, and the Noda Yehuda has a pshara, he has a middle shita. So what's the nakudas hamachlokas here? What's the issue on whether someone has to mevarer a svek sveka now? Like, what's the lamdis, as you were asking? So to me, it sounds like the following. I'll give a mushel. Let's say you walk into Fortino's. I don't know if you heard of it. It's like a supermarket.
I've been there.
Or a ShopRite.
We get our, yes.
And you go to the kosher meat section, and you see something you never see before. 50% off sale. The kosher meat's on sale, 50% off. And then, so you pick up the meat, and you see a little sticker on it. And it says on the sticker, of course, in Hebrew, so no one knows what it says. Safek da'oraisa. This means, you know what? We mixed up the Fortino's meat with the kosher meat. We don't even know which one is which anymore. So we give you a 50% off deal on the kosher meat because we're not sure if this is the kosher meat. Got mixed in with other pieces. We don't know. So the question is, so a person comes back after from the gym. He had a good workout. He was in the park, whatever he was doing. And he comes back and he's hungry. So he's thinking, well, what great, 50% off. It's hard to turn down this deal. But, I'm feeling lucky today and starving. I go home, I take the meat, I barbecue it, and it's amazing, ribs and steak. And then, of course, like everything else, a couple of minutes later, after the taiva is gone, you think, well, maybe I shouldn't have had it.
That's correct.
And then you think about it, it's bothering you for the rest of your life. Until finally you go up to Beis Din Shamali after 120 years and you're waiting online to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you call the angel over and say, something's been bothering me for so long. Could you go check? It was May 2nd, 2018, whatever the date was, and I ate this piece of meat. Could you tell me if it was kosher or not? The Gemara goes back and says, "Your lucky day, pal, it was kosher." So a sigh of relief. Then he goes into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have the picture of the scales. He put the mitzvahs on one side, the averas on the other. And to his bewilderment, they take this piece of meat and put it on the avera side. So he said, "No, God, you're making a mistake. You don't follow. I just spoke to the angel. He told me it was kosher." So God says, "No, you don't follow. I follow. When we say safek daraisa l'chumra, when we say something which is a biblical doubt you can't eat, it might have generated from a doubt. But once we paskin, it's usher b'torez vaday. It's not possibly usher. That is the Jewish, that's the system. Safek daraisa l'chumra, it is prohibited. You cannot eat it b'torez vaday. There's no doubts anymore. And therefore, he says, that's why you're getting punished on this piece of meat."
Interesting, that he violated the laws of kashrus, but not the meat he put under a microscope, it was kosher, physically the meat, but he still violated the laws of kashrus.
Halachically, it was treif.
Yes.
Yeah, so we go by the halachic reality.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Halacha defines the reality. It's the same thing. Let's say you went to Fortino's, and it was a suffix Rabbanan meat. And let's say the halacha dictates it's permitted, whatever the case was, and I eat it, and then
it doesn't matter even if it was.
I find out it was treif. It doesn't make it. It wasn't treif. That means it's if it's safek d'rabbanan l'kula, that means it's mutter now.
Yes, as if magic.
So that's the shaila here. When we say a svek sveka is mutter, a double doubt is permitted. What is it speaking? You have to speak to a mathematician and see. Well, statistically, okay, we have a 66% chance it's okay. So we don't know for sure, but we go bust a row, we go with stats, and therefore that's why it's okay. Is that why we're saying a svek sveka is mutter? Because based on probability.
Yes, yeah, so half of a half is.
Or
a
do I say no? That's not why. Once the halacha says svek sveka is mutter. It's 100%, it's b'torez vaday naya. So that seems to be the machlokas here among the achronim. In terms of whether svek sveka, something that could be mavara, do I have to check or not? So if you assume, like the Ramah, you don't have to check according to, so therefore you don't have to do why? Because it's b'torez vaday. I don't have to check. So what am I checking? It's 100% mutter.
Yes,
but if you
check.
Hold that it's only mutter based on probability. Okay, so I'm allowed to rely on it if I have to, but in a case where I'm able to clarify, why not move from 66 to 100%? So therefore, that would be the sheet that I would say, if it's efshar levarer, you might as well be mevarer, because since it's only a 66% chance, let's raise your odds of not eating, even though it's a mutter and you won't get punished for it, but why put yourself in a situation where you might be putting that'd be part of the discussion.
Or is it the other thing is that once strikes faker, then it's as if like magic. It's no longer, you know. For instance, let me take the example. Go back to the smit, and there's a notice sticker saying, the Rabbanan, it's treif, because I mixed it up with whatever it is. I don't know how, whatever it is. And then you don't have, although a chemical test could tell just examining the meat itself, like, you know, Henry Schwartz, somebody knows science, a chemical test could clarify the composition, and it's got, you don't have to do that chemical test. Once it's stuff, is that right? You don't have to say, I'm still curious. Okay, test if you like, that makes no difference to the halakhic.
Right, I mean, that.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm saying that's with either one in the Torah is Vada, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And then, And just to conclude, we're not concluding on the Shia, but we'll be concluding for now. But I'm saying is that, that's the issue there. So therefore, so according to the Rokeach, so it's a svek svek is mutter. So let's assume. So according to the way the Rokeach learned, so therefore, so even according to the No Debi Yehuda, one would not be obligated to take a sonogram.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Since at least at this point you don't have, maybe at one point they'll be able to tell if the fetus will live or not at that early stage, but at this point it can't be a mavara apparently. So the No Debi Yehuda, even the No Debi Yehuda would agree that there's no reason taking a sonogram because all you're gonna tell me if it's a male or female, but it's not gonna clarify the other, maybe you can never clarify that by definition, if the baby's going to live to fruition.
Yes.
So therefore, he says one would not be obligated to go ahead and
out of.
Right, and
what
do
difference
it.
Does it make? You raise the odds from 60 to 90, you know. Yes, okay.
However, comes along the Prima Gadin, and he wants to. He has a kasha on the Rokeach. That's what we discussed. Like, what do you mean? I agree, which in principle, a svek sveik is mutter, but what kind of sex sveik here? Hasafik hasheni shema nefahu neged harovu. What kind of ridiculous, what kind of suffix? It's a very small percentage of a nefel. The geek, so he doesn't like the svek svek of
the
rokeach.
Sorry, rokeach.
The prima gadin is arguing.
Gordon,
he says the rokeach doesn't like the rokeach svek sveka.
Yes.
And it seems so there are other people who defend the svek sveka of the rokeach that we find in other Gemaras, that even though it's only a small suffix, we do use it. So, but I don't need to defend them at the moment. But there are defenses. But comes along the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says as follows. He wants to answer up the Prima Gadin's question on the rokeach. He says, no, come on, the rokeach doesn't mean a svek sveka. Everyone knows that's ridiculous. A suffix nefel? Like, what are the odds of that happening? The rokeach can't mean, don't take him literally. He doesn't mean a svek sveka. That's not why he permits a pregnant wife of a kohen to go to a cemetery. You know why he permits it? For a different reason. He says, v'kavanaso samach miyot ma'apolik v'meksa in the cave of Zacharim. He says, no, really? We're working with the principle of rove. In other words, basically, it's a 50-50, let's zocher in the keva. And let's say a small percentage of males are nefelim. So therefore, we're tipping the scales, so now you have rove on your side. What the rakeach means, that since rove at a time, it's not going to be a viable male, and therefore we don't have to worry. So he's saying it's a din in rove, it's not a din in svek sveka, so, which is a general issue. Do you take, in other words, it's a general issue how commentators learn if like, do you go, so
under
obviously
50%, that seems,
what?
I mean, over 50% is okay,
it's,
but under 50%,
yeah, it's called, not. It's called rove?
Yes.
Achari rabba mahatos, yeah. That's the concept in halacha called rove, yes, he's not making up that point. But he's saying, as you tip the scale now, it makes a big difference whether something's a 51% chance or a 49% chance. If it's 51, then minatora, you have a problem, you know. You know, so obviously, you always could discuss where the line should be drawn, but, you know, it's always going to be whether 65 is passing and you get a 64. That might be more random. Here in halacha, it's less random. But either way, so the getting back here, so what he points out is, it's a dinner rove, it's not a dinner. In other words, what I'm just pointing out, it's a fascinating debate among different mafarshim. Some mafarshim go, they lean more technical and literal, and other mafarshim learn more conceptual. In other words, let's say a Gemara.
The numbers, the other one.
Or let's
for
say.
Under 50, over 50. So
no.
Get back to that.
In other words, when you have, everyone agrees if you have the fundamentals and the tech, let's say to give a stock market example, mm-hmm. Let's say they're what they call fundamental investors. They study the company, they figure out how much money it's going to earn, the earnings, etc., revenue, and they base their picks on how, you know, how they value the company. It's a fundamental analysis. Mm-hmm. And then you have other people who don't even know what the company is. The technicians. They're pure technical. They just look at the chart where the price is, and they figure out moving day averages. They come up with algorithms, as they call them today, and they set them up. That's what runs the market today, short term. All these hedge funds guys. But either way, so then you have a machlok. In other words, when you have a machlok as technicals versus fundamentals, when the fundamentals look good, and the technicals look terrible, or the reverse. So then you can have a machlokas, technicians versus fundamentalists. But watch out, if both the technicals and the fundamentals are bad, or if they're both good, then obviously you can have people pounding the table to buy it now. If the technicals signal a buy and the fundamentals, right? So same thing here. that there's certain mafarshim that go with more literal. They focus on what the actual words say and say that's the most important thing. Others say, no, it's not the words. If it's conceptually, that word doesn't make sense. Clearly, the word is lav dafka. So some issue here. The Rokea clearly uses the word svek sveka. So obviously, the way people are learning the Rokea is he means what he says. Svek sveka means svek sveka. That's what I'm going to work with. And I'll have to, what about the second suffix? Okay, there's a Gemara in Yavamas. So I could work it out. It's still a good svek sveka. And the Chasam Sofer says, no way, it can't mean svek sveka. But he can't believe that conceptually it is a svek sveka. So therefore, clearly the Rokeach was no dummy. He knew this. And therefore, obviously the Rokeach wrote svek sveka, but we all know what he means. He meant rov. So what's the practical difference? Either way, according to the Rokeach, everyone agrees he's saying a pregnant wife of a Kohen can walk into a cemetery. Who cares if I say it's mutter because of rov? Or it's mutta because of svek sveka. Either way, it's a go, right? I'll tell you, it's a big difference. The difference is, everyone agrees when it comes to rov, if it's efshar levarer, you have to. Everyone agrees when it comes to rov,
yes.
You only rely on rov if you can't clarify the facts.
Rov means rov.
So the effort, so according to...
Somebody at the door, a couple of people at the door.
What, looking to come in?
Yeah, I think so.
No, what do you mean? They could come in. They don't need your help.
Okay. They can't open the door. Let her go.
Someone there. Yeah, but there's a major nafkamina. According to that Bizman Hazet, that we have sonograms, so then would a wife of a Kohen be obligated to do a sonogram? If you hold like the Chasam Sofer, yes. Because it's Efshar Levarer, assuming not like they know to be Yehuda. So if you're going with the Shach Yesh Chokin, so then one would be obligated to take a sonogram. And if the sonogram came out female, then it would be okay to go in. But if the sonogram came out male, it'd be prohibited to go to the cemetery. That's what it would come out. But according to the simple learning of the Rokeach, it wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't be obligated to take a sonogram in the first place. And the effort would be, but this would come out a machlokas among the Achronim. That's, I think, Rav David Black, the contemporary halacha. He comes out with chumrah. He goes like the Chasam Sofer. He would say that one is obligated to take a sonogram in order to clarify it, and if it came out, no, she wouldn't be able to go in. The shail is, so what about a woman going in to the hospital then, a pregnant, if the same concern is by, so no, he would agree that you don't have to give birth in the alley, that's already a woman could be a staphic of a cholesh ish bo sakana, or other reasons. He agrees a woman's allowed to go to a hospital for to give birth. But so that's what comes out, as of now, it comes out, This would be a fundamental machlokes, and so let's assume like the Chasam Sofer saying, so the effort would come out, this would be a classical case. I'm asked all the time, Rabbi, does Jewish law change? And I say, it depends what you mean by change. If you mean that you asked me a question today, and you asked me the same question 300 years ago, then yes, I could give you a different answer. If you're asking me, do the principles change? I say no. In other words, this is the classic case. 300 years ago, whenever it was, when the Rokeach lived, so there was no sonogram. So therefore, I would have paskined, yes, you can go into a cemetery, not a problem. Today, perhaps, I'm not saying the conclusion is that way, but perhaps today, with the advent of modern technology, perhaps the halacha would change. If you took a sonogram and it came out to be male, so then you would not be permitted to go into a cemetery. That would be a classic example,
yes,
where Jewish law does change. For the record, we haven't finished this year, I'm not finishing it now, but I can conclude that even if we do take a sonogram and it is a male, we could still come up some reasons why it still might be permitted to go in.
Okay.
But I'm just focusing on this nakuda here.
Thank you. Now, the man who said that No, you don't have to take you don't have to take a sonogram. You know, I mean, let me see which way it goes. That is a slick. You know, slick striker. You don't have to worry about the odds. Who am I thinking of? The one who's
the Rokeach.
It must be the Rokeach. That you don't have to take a sonogram, right? I mean, okay, according to the Rokeach.
Well, he doesn't talk about sonograms, but right, he says a woman, a wife of a Kohen could go in, a pregnant wife of a Kohen.
Even if you can only clarify one of the things.
No, he just writes Svek Svek and you could go in.
Yes, okay.
Right, so obviously he's assuming you don't have to. He doesn't discuss being Mavara. That's a further debate on Pshat and the Rokeach.
Okay, let's talk about that then. That according to this, that if you follow the Rokeach, that means that in a case like this today, you would not have to take a sonogram, even if sonogram could settle it. You don't have to take it.
Right.
Because you take a strict saker on its face.
Right. So it would, depending how, right, so depending on what Pshat and the Rokeach is,
yes.
If you go with the Ramah, the Ramah seems to say you don't have to be mevarer.
Yes.
The Shach says Yesh Cholkin, and the Noda Bihuda has a middle shita. But working with assuming the Rokeach is saying a Svek Svek is working, you don't have to be mevarer, then you would not have to take a sonogram.
Okay, right. So now in that case, however, if you did take a sonogram,
according to the Rokeach, you wouldn't be obligated to. But let's say a woman did take one, let's say for medical reasons.
Yes.
Then, so that would that
then would you have to say, well, today sonogram?
Yes, and then right. So it would come out then according to the Rokeach. Again, one could discuss what the Rokeach means, but it should come out then according to the Rokeach, if a woman took a sonogram and it came out to be male, and we're assuming in my answer that sonograms are reliable.
Yes.
So then it would come out, the Rokeach's reason would no longer hold water, and then either the answer would be it would be usur, or we'd have to come up to a different reason why it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Right. But the Rokeach Svek Sveka would not hold up anymore, and the simple answer would be you could no longer go to a cemetery.
Right.
It'd be usur medina.
That's exactly.
There'd be a classic case, it would now be a Suffolk Daraisa. And we pass in Savak Daraisa Lachumra. We have to go back to our principles given at Mount Sinai. And that's why 300 years ago, I ring in the bell, it comes out with the Svek Sveka. Today, I ring in the same question, it comes out with Savak Daraisa Lachumra. So that's a classic example where principles change, because if you take the same principle and apply it to a different reality, you come up with a different answer potentially.
You know what this reminds me of, that connection? I think it was Rav Moshe who passed on that. Of course, Mamzerus goes, if you're not sure, you don't have to investigate. But if you did investigate, you're stuck with it.